Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
Saludos a nuestra gente and welcome to The Latina Theory, a Spanglish podcast sin vergüenzas. I am your host, Maria Isa, along with my co-host,
Jessica Lopez Lyman.
And we are two proud Minnesotanas, a Boricua and a Chicana, proud of where we come from, of where we are now. And we are here to create a dialogue focused on Latinx opinions regarding current events, health, politics, race, edutainment, and a music playlist asazonado with Latinx contemporary, Latinx alternative, soul, hip-hop, reggae, reggaeton, cumbia, R&B, salsa, ritmos afro-latinos, y más.
Como duele. Cómo duele, cómo duele.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
¿Cómo estás, mujer? How are you doing?
Hey, all I gotta say is Columbus has fallen.
Columbus.
I was cracking up.
Down.
I was, I've been with Carmencita. She's here. Got a little hiccups in the background maybe, but I had, not really on social media that much. And was it yesterday or the day before when it happened? I got on late at night and my whole feed was just that statue. So to our listeners out there, some amazing, strong, fierce frontliners
yes.
went to the Capitol, St. Paul, outside the Capitol. There's a statue of Christopher Columbus and they brought it down.
It was
a beautiful sight to see.
Beautiful. I got to witness it front seat. I parked my car with my husband and we went to show support to all of the elders of AIM and children of AIM and who are continuing this movement on behalf of their ancestors. And it was such a great feeling because, it hasn't been feeling so good to be in the Twin Cities. Our communities have been the eye of recognizing why we must continue to fight for the injustices in our Black communities and in our Indigenous communities and in our communities of color. At the most, troublings of what we've experienced, there is a moment of joy, to feel. And that was what I felt while I held my daughter and witnessed the brothers and sisters pulling this statue off that, to me, represents, you know, he landed on Borinquen. You know, he never even came over here, and there's a statue. And to show that this man is the one who sold my ancestors of the Taino nation at 9-year-old and 10-year-old women to be, not women, little girls, you know, girls, young little yes. babies, 9-year-olds. And these are, you know, our nieces, and it's the ages of children. And, oh, and just to hold my baby girl and witness that, and how she carries her indigenous name of Loisa. You know, it felt so good to smile and cry and sing and yell in unity with our indigenous brothers and sisters who led that action in this movement to pull that down. And I hope that it reflects and it's a parallel action to remove all of these racist symbolisms of America.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, it's all about what kind of world do we want to live in. And that's the other thing that I've been really holding true to the past, I don't know, week or two since we last recorded, is seeing the narrative of abolition being inserted into the mainstream.
Yes.
You know, that was for so long something that was only really talked about in circles like critical resistance, you know, organizers on the ground that were fighting for prison abolition. Huh, Carmencita? Yes, she's all excited about it.
Yes.
Or academic spaces, right, where theorizing about this idea. But to see people sitting in parks like Powderhorn over South talking about abolition and what that would look like is just so beautiful. I know some of our guests later on in the podcast will touch on that a little bit too.
Definitely. I want to give our listeners a heads up on to who we have on the podcast. We've got an interview coming up shortly here with Asha Long, as well as with community organizer and activist in St. Paul, Twin Cities, Tish Jones, as well as Chicago's Afro-Latinx community queen of Humboldt Park, Chicago, La Bombera de Corazón, Ivilis Diaz, and also Latinx enterprise, you know, warrior Maya Santa Maria on the show. So please stay tuned. We also have a music playlist to keep everybody vibing. And I appreciate all the love and support from our community that have been given in response to the song that I put out, which you heard earlier today on the show, opening up in honor of our brother George Floyd.
R.I.P. Big Floyd. It's like the world went to shit after Kobe died, right? And white people be like, why's it always gotta be about race? This is native land, cocksucker, stop peeing in the lake. I need a break, I need a 7-day European escape. And say grace before we eat to get a plate of sweeter taste. Belly of the beast in a police state. Where we used to say peace, now we say be safe. Cause on the news every hour of the day. Nowadays, it's like a motherfucking powder cake blowing up in your face. Look what happened on 38th, or should I say allegedly. It happens all over, but in Minnesota especially. And I don't know if I'm mad at the cops or the people that just stood there and watched. But the shit got me hot. If I was there, I swear I would at least pick up a rock. But if I ain't risking the virus, why would I risk getting shot? This is madness. You see how hazardous them bastards is? The nerve of that cracker to kneel on his neck like Kaepernick. If you ain't feeling me, you killing me. Cause they've been killing us for years with no accountability. None. If it wasn't for my baby, I might do something crazy. Like that Somali cop that went to jail for killing that white lady. Double standard, fucking with my head like devil dancers. Like why he locked up and not the punk that killed Philando. America's canceled till further notice. Yeah. You call the cops and us, that's attempted murder, you bogus.
Torre, que la calle está quemando. Yeah. Torre, que la calle está quemando. Torre, que la calle está quemando. Oye, que la pistola están sonando. Torre, que la calle está quemando. Torre, que la calle está quemando. Torre, que la calle está quemando. Oye, que la pistola están sonando.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
What's good, everyone? Latina Theory. We are back. We're really excited to have a series of guests with us on today's podcast. Our first person is Asha Long, amazing artist, organizer, and founder of Dirty Souls. Dirty Souls is a Minneapolis-based organization focused on healing and environmental justice. They right now are doing a project where they're bringing folks out, black folks that are in Minneapolis, out to cabins, getting out of the city. So we're going to talk a little bit about that project. But first, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, you know, just have a lot of energy around this project, and I'm excited to see how community responds, you know, see who's going to really be affected by it, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, we definitely want to make sure we follow up with you as you continue the work. There's so many powerful things that are happening in this moment, you know, whether we're talking about abolition, we're talking about the Columbus statue being taken down, other racist memorial sites being taken down throughout the nation, people having conversations about imagining what a world would look like without a police state. For you, what's really significant right now?
For me, what's really significant is that as well as pushing up against the powers that be and making sure that these systems change, that we're doing an internal check-in and we're focusing on our healing as well. Because, you know, healing is a big part of the liberation.
Absolutely. When you think about healing, what are, for you, some of those components that go into healing? Oh, self-care is a phrase that's been thrown around a lot and then critiqued. People have been, you know, bringing up the idea of Adrienne Marie Brown's book, Pleasure Activism.
Yes.
What's healing for you?
So absolutely self-care. I would say self-care and community care. You can take care of your community when you're addressing your own personal needs the best. Mindfulness, being aware of where you're at physically and emotionally. I know with George Floyd, with the murder of George Floyd, I have been everywhere emotionally. I've been mad, I've been sad, I've been angry, confused. And so, you know, just checking in with myself constantly about what I feel and what I need in that moment. And, you know, it is really about seeking pleasure, you know, to find joy as a black person in the United States is radical. And it's so important to the growth of the movement. You know, we stand in the streets and we shout and we cry and, we let our sorrow and our hurt and our anger be seen. And that's so important. So important to be out there. But then there are moments when you go home and there's not a protest. You know, how are you upholding yourself? How are you taking care of yourself and your family? And how are you making sure that that toxicity doesn't weigh you down? You know, that's, we're already dealing with toxic stress every day, especially living in metropolitan areas. You know, we've got smog, we've got low paying jobs, we've got limited access to healthy and fresh foods. I mean, and we're surrounded by concrete. And if we really look at the core of us and our ancestors and how they've survived, they've gotten wisdom and help and health from the earth. And so how do we go back to the earth and let it teach us what we need to know and really depend on that as a form of wisdom that's valid and ancestral, you know?
Most definitely, which brings me to Dirty Souls, the organization you founded. Can you tell us a little bit about how that got started and the project that you all are working on right now?
Definitely. So Dirty Souls is born out of years of organizing work and my own personal experience, you know, relationship with nature. So I went to De La Salle High School, graduated, and then I moved to Duluth for 5 years for school. Got a great scholarship, which was awesome. And it was quite racist. It was super racist. So I had I had a lot of stuff I was dealing with, but with Lake Superior and, you know, being around the trees and the quiet nature just up there, away from such a big city like Minneapolis, it was amazing how much my temperament had changed. And I felt like I could take care of myself and my life better. You know, I feel like it gave me more agency. So when I moved back to Minneapolis and became a core organizer with Black Lives Matter Minneapolis, when we were doing a lot of our work, and being out in the streets and letting our emotions be seen and holding it down and supporting our community and coordinating resources, you know, there's a lot of trauma that comes with that. And there's a lot of trauma and re-traumatization when you are exposing yourself constantly and constantly and not having change. So while there's a place for it, it can be very detrimental to our health. And so once we had finished, I think maybe 2016, I had to take a step back to really focus on my own self-care. And so, you know, what did that look like? That looked like camping. That looked like health, fresh vegetables and fruits and water and looking into vitamins and just listening to my body. So when I took the trauma from my activism and organizing and reminded myself of the healing that I experienced in nature, it kind of just mixed up together and became Dirty Souls, you know. And some people in the community have probably heard me talking about this for a few years. You know, I've always said, you know, what do relationships look like when we're not in the toxicity of a city? You know, how can the way we relate to each other and ourselves change? And how can we put things in our toolboxes for us to, you know, build resiliency in our communities? Mm. You know, there's, as I said, I also do environmental justice work previously a few years ago. And it's amazing how many white people have spent money and time and energy saving such beautiful natural resources. And it's an absolute shame that we don't have access to those resources, to the lakes and the forests and the streams. You know, I mean, this land is ours. I mean, it's ours to use. It's our resource. It's our abundance, and we deserve to have access to it.
It's so sacred.
It's so sacred. And not only that, but we deserve to learn how to navigate the land. So we deserve to learn about how to heal ourselves with plants, or even going skiing and snowboarding, camping, archery. These are things that have historically been, you know, taken from us, or the opportunity to learn it has been taken from us. You know, there's a lot of fear of going in the woods for Black people, and rightly so, historically. Mm. But it's time to reclaim our place in nature and honestly learn that these systems are not made for us. And I hope that people will reorient their energy into more fruitful, natural ways to relate with our environment.
Asha, I got a question. It's topping with what Jessica had asked, but how are in these times and recognizing our spaces with amongst the environment? Can you tell me a little bit about your work with bridging with the indigenous communities here between the Dakota and Anishinaabe, who really, you know, the true land is of where we are at is here.
Absolutely.
What leadership initiatives between their community and the Black community have taken place under your work?
You know, we are just getting started. So honestly, we haven't really been in community with many indigenous communities as of yet. That is certainly an intention of ours. While the focus is on Black families, it's not limited to Black families. You know, they say when Black people do better, everybody does better. Mm-hmm. And so it's about Black and communities of color, getting us back to the land. And yes, we do have a lot to learn from indigenous groups. And I hope that we can be in community and that we can share resources and figure out how we can be together on this land.
I mean, one of the things I think has been so powerful coming out of the movement here, when you have the American Indian movement started in Minneapolis in 1968 alongside the Black Power movement, alongside the Chicano movement, you know, Boricua movements, we have a history of solidarity with each other, and seeing it play out today, especially what's happening after George Floyd's murder, has been really inspiring. shout out to AIM, right, for doing that work. So I look forward to seeing how you all cultivate these relationships.
You know, I also want to make note, back in 2016, after Philando Castile, the murder of Philando Castile, us as sisters in our communities of color and indigenous community braided a meeting together to be like, this is about unifying shades of resistance, unifying the fact that we are oppressed people. And if we continue to divide amongst us as oppressed people, that's how they win. That's how white supremacy survives, off of us continuing to separate ourselves and not acknowledging the own racial, you know, disparities and inequalities in our own communities. And I'm just proud to see my sister gather, especially in these times of, you know, us checking in on each other, us in grief and pain and continuous trauma from 500 years, thousands of years that are living in us, to try and pave, not to try, but to take action and pave what our purpose and mission is individually. And I see my sister making it happen. And I appreciate you being on Latina Theory today, taking time. And please, please, we are finding ways to help the work that is going on. Tell our listeners, Asha, just how folks can donate to this project.
So you can donate by visiting our website, which is Dirty Souls MN. That's Dirty SOLESMN.com. There you'll find a donate link. And there's also a form that you can fill out if you'd like to make a food donation or an equipment donation, or you just want to reach out and be a part of it. You know, I really want people to feel like they can bring their full, true selves to the space and, you know, really just be in community and create something new, because it's time for something new.
Thank you. You are hearing from my sister, our soul sister for life, my girl, Asha Long. You heard her on 1-800-REPARATIONS off the SASA project. That's all her. We appreciate you being here on Latina Theory, and we look forward to going to one of the projects that you have lined up this summer.
Yes, y'all have to come. Please, please come. Please join in this community that's being created. And thank you all so much for having me. I'm so grateful for this space, and I'm excited to see what we can build together.
Right on. You hear it. We're gonna jump into some música here on the Latina Theory.
Before I was born, there was movement. Paddles pushing pent-up people through oceans of pain. That explains my fear of water. When I was born, there was movement still. Lines, paths, roads, circles, and tracks. Check it. I had my first perm in elementary school. Went from coarse, curly black hair to straight, thin. Then what are you gonna do with this do? After that, I did braids, weaves, ponytails, extensions, this faux hawk, mohawk, ducktail design on the side type thing. But before all of that, I also wore tracks. Then there was high school, St. Paul Central, big gray five floor in a basement building, kind of looks like a prison, kind of ran like one too. The fifth floor was for the academic acronyms like AP and IB. The fourth floor was for the quest learners, second to the best grade point average earners. The third was whatever. The second was pass, and the first was primarily us, the theater class. How we were placed in this system? Tracks. Pause. My name is Tish Jones, and I have been called to represent ancestors whose blood sips through the palms of my little brother's hands as he plays in the sand and they bless him. Forefathers who existed before my forefathers and raised men to raise men, hence the sun and the raisin. Then, a generation of beautiful black women born and bred to believe that beauty belonged to everyone but them. So they die and they fry and they try to fit in many ways, allowing trains to leave tracks on their thighs, because the tracks attached to the root of her naps which hang to the mid of her back reduce self-respect, and she is all right with that. They call her a runner, making laps on laps, known as a track star, the best at her craft, and she is right on track. Then there's the little boy whose father was sent away yesterday. He's having a bad day, so he answered the test questions in the wrong way. Now he's in the hallway, struggling, fighting to keep his tears to himself, and she, well, she's lived in the inner city since the beginning. Light skin, long hair, just a little bit skinny. She's smart. She makes failing a test seem hard. If you don't believe me, peep her report card. Anyway, she and he were cool. They went to the same school, hung in the same crew, did things that two best friends would normally do until one day, after taking that test, she got labeled advanced and he got labeled a fool. Dropped out of school and did what he felt he had to. Became a star mathematician, a genius in the kitchen. Studied how different greens and whites would help with his addition. Financial advisor for women, pimping and flipping. Now my man fights his tears inside of a prison. Pause. Forget it. Just play track, black boy, or football, or basketball, or just ball, black boy. Rob, steal, fail, get money, get girls, and go to jail. You do the same, black girl. Read Cosmo, People, Vibe, and Vixen. Try all your life to find the place that you fit into. You see, I represent broken histories, missing text from textbooks, kinesthetic learners that don't test good, products of society, 24 hours of good, clean sobriety, a language that I play with because mine was taken, in a country that shuns me and I have so much stake in it. A people who are a direct result of an action taken, and a people who fear those people, so they've created laws to evade and contain them inside of lines, paths, roads, circles, and tracks. My name is Tish Jones, and I've been called here to represent the missing piece.
Here on Latina Theory. This time we're talking with Tish Jones, founder, executive director of True Art Speaks. Jones is a poet, organizer, educator from St. Paul. She has a passion for hip-hop, spoken word, and youth development. She's performed at the Walker Art Center, Intermedia Arts, Cedar Cultural Center, and more. Lots of different places you can find Tish's work, but she has some published in Blues Visions, African American Writing from Minnesota, which definitely is an important work given the conversation that people have been having today. So, Tish, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all having me and making space.
Definitely, definitely. I got a question. You know, Tish and me, we St. Paul, we're all St. Paul, everybody on this phone call right now. And being that we are in, you know, three decades of our lives, I feel just honored to have my sister in this space of Latina Theory. I wish it wasn't under the circumstance that we always find ourselves working to be heard, struggling to be respected. But I also want to make sure that folks recognize that we are here unifying our braids to honor the lives of Black people. And also to discuss the racial disparities amongst the Latinx community as well and other communities of color when it comes to identifying Black, our Blackness, right? I want to know, Tish, I don't know, because I knew George, but did you ever know George personally?
I did not know the brother. I didn't have the honor.
Definitely was amazing, amazing brother. Just, you know, fun and bubbly and hilarious, you know. I just want to make note to recognize that we're here also to talk about the life of George Floyd amongst what's happening in our communities. And there's a lot of powerful changes happening, Tish. What is particularly significant for you?
I think what I'm most inspired by in this moment is just seeing the web of Black women right now who have been doing work in the Twin Cities, continue to do work in the Twin Cities, and specifically around direct service work. And I have to say that with sort of the contrary, which is like, I'm super disappointed in the lack of swift action and access to resources by some of the larger institutions that could go directly to human beings who have been impacted by the events of the last couple of weeks. And I'm very inspired, you know, like looking at Ashley Henderson and Felicia Perry specifically in North Minneapolis, who right away like began to get food to the people. And it wasn't just the Black people, but it's like food to the people, because it was already a food desert.
Right.
And it's like, well, what are we going to do? You feel me? Yep. It was a food and resource desert. And I'm like, so I'm really just inspired at the people on the ground, like all people on the ground who have just galvanized and organized on the ground to help individuals. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like, happy to take shots at all of these other cats who are getting hella bread and not, you know, directly serving individuals, because we have to have a holistic approach to how we're going to move this forward. So I'm just proud of everybody who's thinking about the thing with a full lens and a full analysis.
Yeah, I think that brings us, you know, to this kind of next conversation. So much of what we're seeing is beautiful and inspiring, like you're saying, particularly around Black women leadership that's been there and continues to be there. But we also see folks that are taking advantage, that are not part of these communities, and taking advantage of the limelight, or, you know, have their ego involved. In this next podcast, we're going to talk about the mural at Wrigley's in Chicago and what is the role of artists and artists of color that are not Black in this. But,
you know how we do. That's what we got to.
We got to go in.
Yeah.
So to all our listeners out there, make sure you check out the next episode too. But Tisha, as somebody who has been a longtime leader in this work, how do we amplify Black voices? How do we support the work that has been done?
Yo, man, we got to collect our people, like, honestly, right? Because I think, like, our communities are suffering, and that's real, right? Like, BIPOC communities, when we're talking about white supremacy, we're suffering. And it's hard to uplift Black voices or center Black people or the Black experience when we're trying to have conversations around policy. Like, we've got non-Black people who may also be non-white people who are like, oh man, but what about this community too? Well, then if we do this, then we got to do that. And it's like, yo, son, statistically, like, we've got organizations around the world and country who have done this work, right? And when we're talking about what's being called an uprising that happened on the heels of the murder of a Black man that folks in our community know, right? And, like, if Minneapolis is the epicenter of that, like, let's honor that Black man's life. Let's honor that Black man's experience. Let's not, when Black folks are at the table asking that we look at the inequities that face Black people, let's not shut that down and be like, okay, but what about these people too, right? Like, let's not do that. And I was on a call the other day with a sister from Standing Rock, and she said she offered something similar. She's like, yo, I know that struggle, because something similar happened when we were talking about Standing Rock, right? We would have conversations about what the Native community needs, and then other folks would interject and be like, well, what about this community too? And we got to stop doing that. Mm-hmm. Like, we're silencing Black folks when mm-hmm. we're doing that. We have to be able to keep the main thing the main thing. That's what one of my OGs is, he always says that. And it's like, yo, in this moment, let's make this moment what this moment is, you know? Like, mm-hmm. and that's not a diss to anybody. That's a laser sharp focus. I was so agitated when I saw the governor do one of his daily briefings and talk about how fresh and how fly and how dope the education system is in Minnesota. And I'm like, yo, it's the worst for my people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how dare you say that? How dare you mm-hmm. not talk about the intersections of the way in which this system is oppressing my people? And how dare you do that while also talking about the death of George Floyd, the murder of George Floyd? That's so disrespectful. It's disrespectful to do that. It's disrespectful to take the attention away from the way that Black people have to attempt to survive here and to survive globally. Like, I just think it's super whack. So to me, I think we got to stop doing that. You know, we have to check our own anti-Blackness. Mm-hmm. We have to check our own internalized oppression. And we got to make some room for the people. And it's not everybody, right? Because, like, to your point, there's cats out here who are doing this limelight thing, mm-hmm. right? So we got to make some room for the cats who, in my opinion, got some skin in the game and got some trust from the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Not likes from the people. Not like, you know,
not money from the foundation.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I've seen that person somewhere before, but like, nah, do you know them? do you know them? Especially when you're talking about like a place-based movement. Like, man, where are you from? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like I came up, man, coming up, it was like, who's that? Well, what's their mama name? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I need to talk to them. You know what I'm saying? And if it's not like that, yo, like, you got to do that. You got to do your due diligence to figure out who cats are, because there's a way in which, like, folks tend to capitalize off of movements all over the place. They tend to co-op movements. They tend to, like, let their ego step in, and they start to subversively insert their personal agenda.
Yep.
Do the knowledge, fam. Do you know these people? Do your people know these people? Who's vouching for these people? Yep. And if the person that's vouching for this person ain't somebody that you trust, nah, do the work.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's not only ego-driven, but it's also FBI-driven, you know, CIA-driven. And I think that's another part of this movement that we need to make sure we keep at the surface too, right? You know, the infiltration of our communities.
Straight up, even by the city, yo. Like, even by the city. It's like, yo, there's some agendas here that are not ours, and we got to check that.
Definitely. We got to check the folks that don't represent our agendas.
Right.
And you know, specifically today, reading, and not just today, but for the whole career, and even just in social media, these Senate majorities, like Senator Paul Gazelka, who has personally attacked us in our faces, you know, and is the head honcho in the Senate. And it's like, yo, we can pull you down just like we did that Columbus statue.
You feel me?
You know, and it's happening, right? That's what the whole thing is. It sucks. It hurts to have another brother, especially. You know, I'm so tired, Tish, of knowing people getting killed by the police, and just knowing that people are getting killed by the police, specifically Black people, specifically people of color, that it's a rage that's held inside. And then it's also a grieving episode to be like, I ain't never going to see him again, you know? And people is out there on, the devil is out there, working even harder to put these fires on us, you know? So, it's holding everybody accountable. It's holding ourselves accountable. It's learning from how we progressed the last time this happened to why we aren't where we need to be, and putting people at the prime of saying, you know, what the hell are you gonna do, you know, because we've been doing and we ain't gonna stop doing what we do, but what are you doing? If you're somebody that's still attacking the facts and the truth and trying to find some way to be a hierarchy and continuing your horrible, traumatic legacy of supremacy within white people, then you're on that list. You know, not you, right? I'm saying they're on that list of, okay, you know, excuse my French, but I can't fucks with you. And I'm going to figure out how your whole agenda can be dismantled. How we can figure out how to beat you at your own game.
Yeah, that's real.
As much as we hate, you know, this system wasn't built for us, we know that, you know. We spend time teaching our youth through all the means and the tools that our ancestors have left and have survived colonization and continue to survive to decolonize. And it's like we have to teach our kids how to, you know, beat them at their own game. Beat them with the weapons that they use on us, which they think they're smarter than us. They think that we have no recollection of our histories because they're oral. Well, guess what? Time is now. It's happening. Keep filming them, you know, keep utilizing any platform that you can, whether it's through arts, whether it's through health, whether it's through education, whether it's through business and industry, you know, teaching ours how to survive this successing of white privilege and white supremacy to dismantle it. And I'm, you know, there's a lot of people who are tired in our community. I get it. You know, I understand that feel betrayed and continue to be beaten even amongst our own. And and if I could ask you, you know, Tish, because I see you on the front lines. I've been there with you on the front lines, you know. What can you tell those folks, specifically Black people, who are telling you, I'm tired, and I'm gonna let this play out, because that's not what we need to hear.
You know what? Well, thankfully, like in my circles, that's not the message that I'm getting. And yep. But that's the thing, right? Where I recognize I have this conversation with myself probably every year. Like, yo, man, I curate my circles in such a way that there's some stuff that I don't come in contact with mega often. And as tired as folks are, as hurt as folks are, as angry and upset as folks are, like, everybody's like, yo, we gotta do this.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, we're in this thing. And I think what I was gonna say to you is, like, to your point on education, I think it's so important, right? So, like, we got Governor Walz, who has supported my work publicly in the past, and in this moment, severely disappointed me, right? And I think because some of what he's saying is directly connected to some of the initiatives that Black folks are talking about right now, right? So it's like, we don't have the time to be tired. We actually have to educate our young people,
mm-hmm.
right? The opportunity is in our young people, mm-hmm. right? And it's everything that you're saying, yo, like, we know who we are, we know how powerful we are, and we got to make sure that we're giving that message to the young people. Not only that, we got to make sure that we're training and equipping them.
Yep.
Not just to beat them at their own, man, but to elevate.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to raise them up to elevate.
Once you get to that.
Like, the Black imagination, the free imagination, the liberated imagination has to be far more powerful than the white imagination, because the white imagination demonizes and vilifies all of us. And we got to equip them and inspire them and keep them ready to dream bigger and do better. Like, and that's it.
Check it. That's, you said it right there, Tish. I mean, it's check it. And take that position to recognize, and, you know, white people need to recognize that Black lives matter. Those who continue to deny their own Black identity need to recognize that Black lives matter. As Black people are taking the stand to say Black lives lead. You know, I want to see Black lives lead. Black lives, Black lives elevate. Black lives dominate, you know, because this is what the change is. That's what the change is. Ain't nothing changed until everybody and they mama recognize the leadership and the if you want to go into how this system was built based on systemic pyramids, recognizing that those pyramids are Black people.
Come on, right. Say that.
You know, so
part of this conversation you're saying with the imagination, you know, I think is what I've loved seeing, the infusion of the narrative of abolition being thrown in here, because I think so much of the language before in mainstream discourse, at least, was like reform, 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 even though Black communities, other communities of color, Native communities have been saying, you can't reform an institution like the police that were created to bring back enslaved people to white slave owners.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So any thoughts on this idea of abolition in terms of how it's pushing the narrative, how you see it unfolding in the movement right now?
You know what I'm most interested in saying, speaking on that, is like, don't be scared. Tying it right back to this thing about imagination. Y'all, we have got to be able to dream and imagine and create beyond our fears. And I say that as an artist. Like, as an artist, it's always been my responsibility, your responsibility. Like, we're artists. It is our responsibility to imagine the world beyond the way that it exists. We got to tell the truth, we got to document the history, and we have to create the world that we want to see. That's our role, son. And we got to create art right now that advances the movement. So I got a call to artists. Like, this is my call to artists. It's like, and it's no diss, right? Like, the murals are tight, they're beautiful, they're peaceful, they're loving, etc., except for the John on the Cub Foods thing. I think that's whack. I think it was done in a whack way. It might be aesthetically pleasing, but it was done in a whack way, and I want to be really clear about how I feel about that.
Yo, we're right there with you, Tish. We have a whole episode we're producing just to discuss that, you know?
Son, so so what I'm trying to say, though, is, like, I think, like, for the artists who are out here right now making art, it's, like, make some art that advances the movement.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Make some art that is politically charged, that is, like, holding up the narrative, that supporting the narrative of the change that the people want to see. Like, push that art forward. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's actually, like, let's list our demands publicly if we're going to make art. Let's make some music. Like, Maria, the song that you put out, like, let's make some music in honor of this moment. Like, let's tell this story right now. Let's do that work. And the flowers is tight. The love and the peace is tight.
Yeah.
But, like, all of the aesthetically pleasing and the palatable stuff isn't the stuff that's not the messaging we need to see. We need to inspire folks to think different. You know what I'm saying? We need to inspire folks to dream differently. So it's the same with thinking about police abolition. Imagine a world free of the police state. Just let yourself sit with it. I'm seeing so many people who are doubling back, who seem scared, etc. And it's like, yo, son, like, your ancestors, specifically people, black people, indigenous people, people of color, your ancestors had to imagine you existing in order for you to exist.
Punto.
Boom. You owe them this moment of your imagination, yes, so that your children can exist.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yep.
Y'all are listening to Latina Theory here with our guest of honor on this episode, Tish Jones, my sister. Any links that, you know, our listeners can touch base on regarding to stay activated and stay educated, as well as if people want to be able to donate to these projects and causes that are happening here locally in our Twin Cities communities. Can you give that shout out?
Yeah, yo, so the folks that I really want folks to think about are folks who do things for the long game, specifically because, like, they don't even plan on rebuilding things for 6 to 8 months.
Yeah.
So we need folks who are going to do this for the long game, right? We can't depend on, you know, guilty white dollars or savior white dollars or generous white dollars or ally white dollars. And we definitely can't, you know, pull more away from ourselves because we're already, you know, struggling to survive. So Setul,
yep,
works hard and diligently in South Minneapolis. They've not only been a spot for folks to get resources like food, housing supplies, etc. They're on the block where the stuff went down.
Yep. Yep.
And they're organizing for workers and labor rights. And we're thinking about people in our communities who have lost wages. Holler at Setul, support Setul. Additionally, in terms of in St. Paul, Hallie Q. Brown has a food shelf, and they have had a food shelf for years.
Yep.
So I mean, when the pop-ups, I was little, I've been getting, like, when I was in grade school, we made boxes for that in, like, first grade. So for the long haul, yes.
Yeah, if you
for
don't know about Hallie Q. and you from the Twin Cities, then you a part of the problem.
Son, Hallie Q. and also Frogtown Neighborhood Association, because they're serving all the people and have had a food shelf for over 3 years. So donate to the Frogtown Neighborhood Association.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Like, there are people who are doing the long game. Personally, in terms of the work that we're doing at True Art Speaks, we created this series called The Village Project specifically to serve black folks. This is a resource for black youth, adults, and families. We're trying to destigmatize, like, getting mental health services in our community because we've seen the trauma that young people specifically have experienced as a result of what's taken place over the last 2 weeks in the murder of George Floyd.
Yes.
And we want to make resources accessible, okay? So we're going to have therapists on site. You can sign up. If you want to work with therapists, there's going to be the opportunities will be subsidized. So come through. There will be a meal. There will be meditation and movement and music. There will be PPE. There's a social distancing plan in place. There will be tea. There will be healthy restorative juices. And it's free. The whole thing is free. Come
Amazing.
Eat for free. Come and get on your therapy TikTok for free. Like, come and connect with other black folks. And if you're in and there's books, there's literature on race, identity, the history of white supremacy in this country, how we can, like, all of that is free for you, so we can start to do this work to educate ourselves, to liberate ourselves, to connect with one another, and to be real about the things that we're feeling and unpack that and learn that it ain't our fault, because we be walking around acting like we mad, you know what I'm saying, and all tense and stuff because it's us, because we can't. Nah, G, we live under so much pressure and so much fear, and we literally, statistically proven, like, we're dying every 28 hours at the hand of someone who thinks they're superior. who is scared of us in their mind because that's the rhetoric they've been fed for centuries. Come through and, like, release that. June 20th. That's June 20th. That's in a week and a day. And there will be more subsequently on the north side and the south side, and then another one in East St. Paul. So fall through is the first of many.
Right on. You're hearing right there from the sis, Tish Jones. Tish, thank you so much for being here on Latina Theory, sis. I love you.
Yo, I love you. I love you both. I'm so appreciative of the work that y'all are doing. Thank you.
Right back at you. Let's keep braiding, sis. I love.
Yeah, you know. Peace.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
On the Latina Theory, a Spanglish podcast sin vergüenzas. Your homegirl Maria Isa with the sis Jessica Lopez Lyman on the other end. You know, we still during this quarantine, Zooming, three-way calls until the studios could be officially opened. I want to introduce and honor the next guest that we have here on our episode today. This is a sister within the Afro-Boricua community that I respect and got mad love for. I mean, it's been great to see her evolve alongside the beautiful work and movement of the contemporary Afro-Boricua movement in Humboldt Park, Chicago. Our guest here is Ivilis Diaz, who's born and raised in Humboldt Park, the heart, the corazón of the Boricua community in Chicago. Been at the age of 5, began studying bomba at Segundo Ruiz Belvis Cultura Center. Man, I can keep going on and on, but I want to make sure that people recognize that her passion for teaching grew, has been around for over 10 years, as in 2009, she founded her own bomba dance school, La Escuelita Bombera de Corazón, which has been providing classes to a diverse population in Chicago for over a decade. Today, Ivilis is co-founding member and lead vocalist in Bomba Con Bulla, and is also a recipient of the Three Arts Chicago Artists Grant. Ivelisse Diaz, welcome to Latina Theory.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. Estar juntas con mujeres tan fuertes, ¿verdad? Que caminan con fuerza. So thank you so much for having me on this dope podcast.
Right back
at you. Thank you so much.
Jessica, let's jump in. Yep.
Before those, if you hear a little smacking, sorry, y'all. The daughter's on the chi-chi. You know, being a mama still. No, but so glad you took the time. We just previously had talked to two really strong Black women activist artists from the Twin Cities, getting their perspective on what's been happening here locally as well as nationally. But would love to just hear your thoughts about what's going down in Chicago. What's particularly significant about this moment for you?
So, just to start off, Chicago es una de las ciudades, ¿verdad?, que tiene mucha gente, very Black and brown communities. Right now, we have organizations putting in work, protesting, rallying, and all trying to, at the same time, live.
Yep.
You know, there are so many different levels to this. You know, when we talk about racism, you know, we got to deal with the white people, but we got to deal with our own people, with the anti-Blackness.
Definitely.
And so, you know, and so it's like, es como una olla de tantas cosas que se tienen que cocinar.
Uh-huh.
And right now we're just going little by little, poniendo primero la cebolla, poniendo primero, como un sopón que estamos haciendo, ¿verdad?
Yep.
Because then everybody at the end is going to get served.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And I think it's important. I think the word accountability is
yes.
the safest word to use right now.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to live a life of hate and hatred. Mm-hmm. I am very angry. I am really seeing it, and accountability has to be that word that has to shine through, and I think it's going to shine through a lot of the things that also play a role in how crazy things are right now. I think in Chicago, Twin Cities, New York, California, these are places that are not only just cities and stuff like that, right? Obviously. But these are cities that a lot of people go to, a lot of Black and brown people go to. You know, they're part of it. They're part of the build of it. They're part of
the progression. The
reason why, yeah, ellos son la fundación.
Uh-huh.
This is why we have to make sure that we are in these cities doing the work and cutting it all the way at the bottom. You know, I feel like there's some cities where we have to be the leaders of it, you know?
Definitely.
Empezar primero.
What are you doing in this moment as an Afro-Boricua woman, you know, who in our spaces of even Latinidad have to fight, you know, for the Black voices to be heard and to be recognized and respected? You know, you being a bombera and a leader within the bomba community in our contemporary days right now, you know, what have you been doing to not radicalize but bring healing to this movement?
So definitely, you know, I've been very blessed to be part of one of two families, bomba families here in Puerto Rico.
In Chicago, Rico.
You know que yo soy boricua de cora. Pero how is the work? You know, I feel like, you know, a lot of people, practitioners and teachers and stuff and educators, we've been ready for this.
Yep.
You know, we've been holding spaces. It's so beautiful. And right now, what I'm doing is that, like, Cuellita has gone virtually.
Yep.
Thank
you.
And
thank
I've incorporated,
you.
Man, that has been, yo.
That's been a process for me to
hear. Yeah, I've never had Bomba go virtual. You know, it's the first time, you know, con todo esto de coronavirus. I've been, pero how to bring, you know, I've been incorporating my classes and you know, I came with, like, Cuellita, but also, you know, checking myself as an educator. Like, am I doing enough? Am I making sure that I'm covering everything? And so what I did, something that I was able to do as an educator is just really drive in with the history part of dancing, the history part of drumming, the history part of singing, because we got to know what we're thinking out here, because that is the most powerful tool we have, is our voices and our mouth, ¿verdad? And then dancing, you know, when we're talking about bomba, bomba en verdad no tiene palabra.
No.
Bomba es un movimiento.
Exactly.
So how do we understand that? How can we make sure that we are very clear in what we say without those resources, right?
Yep.
You know, digging into history, you know what I'm saying? And there's a lot of things part of our history that it's not pretty.
Nope.
It's very ugly. But it holds so many answers to what's very relevant to today. And we are people, you know, we talk about oppression and stuff, but we are people that are oppressed.
Yeah.
And sometimes we oppress our own.
Yeah.
And so we have to go back, right? We have to go back and dig in. And so my thing has been, you know, I speak, I'm very vocal. People know I'm very vocal, and I'm loving. As I'm vocal, I'm very loving. Yo te voy a regañar, pero mira tú. Si tú necesitas donde quedarte, aquí está mi casa.
Así.
Yo no dejo. You know, it's like that tough love.
Esta cuchara te puede dar y te puede servir también.
Exactamente. Y eso es una cosa tan y tan bella, because when we go, you know, como yo aprendí la bomba and how I was growing up, eso no era tanto lights on, cameras on, boom, boom, bam.
No, it was it's community.
Todo el día, me daban bomba con la vena. Y even as I'm riding by, I'm listening to bomba, like, you know, how to incorporate it. So bringing that back, you know, having discussions, you know, creating safe spaces where, man, we can talk, let's talk about this and not really like stab each other because we don't know.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like, okay, let's open up the safe space so we can talk. Some people don't even know, am I Afro Latino? Am I not?
Yeah.
You know, am I really, you know, yo soy una boricua con tú sabes, ojos claros y pelo bien. What am I? What is this? Encouraging people to go back and ask questions about their abuela, their abuelo, their tatarabuelo.
And holding, you know, accountability, like you said, that word accountability amongst our own, you know, Black family members in our Latinx communities that have racial disparities amongst the other Black communities that we're around. And
very much so.
And especially,
so,
you know, within, I mean, I can speak forth on the Boricua moon, but also recognizing as Boricuas who identify our African blood, who identify with our indigenous blood, but also take initiative of, you know, recognizing who has a privilege, even in our circle, you know, being light skinned, you know, that's a privilege, you know, compared to my prima who is dark skinned and dealing with the racism that we have felt as children, especially in Minnesota and everywhere, you know, from being educated in a system that wasn't for us, but us knowing.
Exacto. Y la historia no lo dicen como we are the walking books, and we're knowing
punto.
That we are these pages. We are walking history, porque yo nunca he podido abrir un libro en la escuela que me dijo lo de mi abuela.
Nunca.
Mi abuelo, you know?
Nunca.
So it's a lot. It's como que, you know, I'm not done doing everything I could do, but I'm learning. And I'm allowing myself to learn, and I'm allowing myself to move how I need to move. And I think I encourage everybody to do that. You know, I also share on, you know, that we need everybody. We need everybody to do their job. You know, not everybody's a frontliner. You know, we need organizers. We need educators. We need people that are going to speak up. We need people that are going to remind people. We need, you know, and those are jobs that we can all do all together. Para menear este candungo que tenemos, you know, esta olla.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Mad respect.
It's important. Yeah,
mad
it's
respect.
Important to be clear. And it's scary times. It's scary time, yo.
It is. And, you know, I want to take a quote from Tina Turner, you know, sister of the Lotus Sutra, who stated, you know, through pain, you will also find joy. You know, in bad times, we will seek our good. And through pain, we will seek our joy. And that's a reflection, like these tools that our ancestors has left us, specifically with our cultural rhythms and throughout our diaspora, is those are the weapons of peace. And those mm-hmm. are, and that's the medicina, eso lo que cura. So I wanna give you much love. I know you gotta get going to your other call and your meetings, but please even
gotta concentrate on the YouTube.
Everything. Eso es candela. So can you shout out your information where people can learn more about your work, connecting to your classes, and also checking out your work within the Bomba community.
Yes, mi gente, por favor, busquen a la Escuelita Bombera de Corazón, la Escuelita Bombera de Corazón, you can also Google Bombera de Corazón, Las Bombleras, Bomba con Bulla, you can put Chicago Bomba, and look for me, and come through, and please join us, you know, in la Escuelita Bombera Corazón, I also bring in elders talking, you know, I got them up on Zoom.
Yep, I see that.
And we're getting taught, yeah, and I love that, because you know what, I'm having fun with my students, I'm doing things that maybe I didn't have access to do either when we were smaller.
Yep.
You know, it was a whole different ballgame too, you know that.
I do, true. Before I'd have to drive 7 hours to go see you, and now I get to just log in.
Es una cosa bella, and you know, every generation is going to bring more and more, and so now, right now, I'm on my way to a meeting to see how we can start up the youth and make them part of this, so it's a beautiful thing to be just part of all these little collectives and push you forward, so that's another thing that I'm contributing, and also learning, and you know, I don't have the answers, but I do have the will y los cojones para pelear para nuestra gente.
Así mismo, puñeta. But, look, my sis, I got mad love for you. I hope that we can be in the same space outside of virtual soon once all of this pandemic, se, you know, cuando el cura del mundo viene, because that's another part. While all of this is happening, our waters are getting cleaned, our air is getting cleaner. You know, everything is in function. Praise Atabe, Yemaya, Ochung, all of the women who control the goddesses of our waters and our ancestry. I can't wait to be near the waters and the alligators of Humboldt Park soon.
right. We got alligators talking about Pincho alligators. We even came out with a beard. You know what? I love my city. My city right now is hurting. You know, we going through it and stuff like that. But just like you said, you know what I'm saying? Through rough times, también viene la felicidad. Y tenemos que seguir. So we don't ever have to come into these spaces and reintroduce ourselves every time we come in.
Punto.
So I'm looking forward for that.
Yep, and may the Boricuas who are listening, may they take down that Christopher Columbus statue like we did here in the Twin Cities.
Que dejen la cabeza, que dejen la cabeza en la agua, que se dejen. Yes, we need to teach our children que Columbus no tenía nada que ver con Puerto Rico. No tiene nada, no es el jefe, no es nada.
Nah.
Y con eso me voy. Candela, candela, le damos. Si quieres candela, candela, le damos.
Love.
Thank you so much for having me on this podcast.
Thank you, Mama. We'll touch base. We'll touch base soon,
Gracias.
Sis. Go get it. All right.
Nos vemos.
Ciao.
Bye.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
And we're back with another guest on Latina Theory here. We have with us the extraordinary Maya Santamaria, the owner of La Raza Radio Station, La Raza Radio, 1400 AM, 95.7 FM. Maya, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me on Latina Theory.
Thank you. We know that amongst everybody in our communities that have been going through so much, you know, you have a personal connection along with our brother-in-law soldier George Floyd. You also have a business that is completely burned down. Your leadership amongst the Latinx community has been recognized for over 2 decades in the Twin Cities. You, as a owner of a radio station, the predominant Latino radio station of the Twin Cities, as well as a mujer who has a background in Native American studies, how are these times of change hit you on a personal aspect of where you want to see us leveled as gente?
Well, I
mean, the time for change is now. This is what we're all protesting about. This is what we're all standing up about, writing songs about, creating art pieces about, yelling, shouting, sitting in, even lying down in protest in these unprecedented times. I mean, in 1970, you know, the Ame brothers, they went over to the Christopher Columbus statue and sprayed blood all over the statue and sat in. And in 2020, they went and the elders instructed them to take it down, and we took it down. And the, you know, luckily we have change happening already, because the fact that we have a Native American woman as lieutenant governor of the state who told the authorities not to, you know, react violently against the protesters or the people that were pulling down the statue, to me, that we've already made that much progress just because of George's legacy that we're already feeling. So it doesn't mean that we've made it to where we need to go, but it does mean that change is real, and that's thank you to George.
Can you tell us a little bit about George and your you know, your relationship to George?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could say that we had more time to be together, but as you know, I'm often pretty busy, and, you know, he was working security at my club, and so oftentimes I'm running late, I'm running into the club, I've got promoters, I've got a show to put on, yep. I've got, you know, people I got to pay, I've got to look over not only the security staff, but the bartenders and what my management is doing and how the money is doing and how the food is doing and how our customers are doing and if our VIP people are doing well. So I have a million things on my plate, so oftentimes, you know, if we had George in the house, I would just feel comforted knowing that he was there. He'd give me a big old smile when I walk in. I'd see where he was at, as well as a lot of the other staff and people that were there to have my back and everybody else's back that night. And so, you know, oftentimes our interaction was more just like a good, you know, a smile, a look, a hello, good evening, you know, and a thank you, of course, but it wasn't really a personal relationship, but it always felt good to have him in the club because we knew that we had one of our soldiers with us. So, you know, it was just a good feeling. He received me a couple times at Conga Latin Bistro, which was another job of his, mm-hmm. where he was head of security, and he always took care of me and a lot of my other friends as well when they went to Conga. So, you know, just a real solid, kind person in the community that you knew was kind of always there for you. And now he's not here physically, but his presence will forever permeate in Minnesota for time immemorial, and hopefully 300 years from now there will be students in Minnesota reading their online history books and learning about George Floyd and how he changed the way the institutional racism was allowed to continue in Minnesota or not continue now, thanks to his legacy.
What steps are your radio station doing to show support to these movements and take accountability amongst our own racial disparities in the Latinx community?
Well, La Raza is a Latino radio station. We usually mostly focus on the issues pertaining to the Latino community in Minnesota. We also look at the national issues that affect us, but as a Minnesota community radio, we're usually trying to focus on what is going on in Minnesota with Latinos, and by extension, of course, other people of color, as we're all united in movements for change. So, you know, certainly our news and information tries to always be Latino-centric and Indigenous-centric, and, you know, it doesn't mean that sometimes it's not always easy to get everybody with the same message, but we certainly do try to continue the message of empowerment, the message of education and information for our community. And we definitely want people to be well informed about what's going on. And if there's ever a time where we fail, we certainly are going to get back up and do hard to, you know, try harder to keep on keeping on for La Raza.
Your work is, you know, completely historical as a Latinx woman, business owner, artist. You know, I know Jessica has some questions regarding to your earlier work within the Chicano movement here, the Twin Cities, primarily through music and arts. Jessica.
Yeah, I just think, you know, I was telling Maria,
I use your work looking at Minnesota music oftentimes in my classes. And I think that our arts, like we've been talking with previous guests today, are so important in imagining new spaces and new ways for us to organize ourselves in our communities. So I just would love to hear a little bit about your thoughts. This is an important moment right now, but it is one of many moments. So as someone who's been a leader for a long time in the Twin Cities, how have these art and music scenes really shaped the movements that we have today?
Well, you know, I wish that I could say that they've shaped them more. I mean, artists like Maria Isa bring about the political aspects and the sociological aspects a lot more than other artists. I mean, I'd have to say I don't see a large quantity of even musicians and artists in our community really pushing for social change. There are a few, there are a handful, but there aren't a great deal. And I really wish that it did come more to the forefront when our Chicano Latino artists are performing or doing their artwork, that they would bring more politics to it. Maybe now with the George Floyd movement, we will get more politicized. But honestly, you know, we've been playing that sleeping giant role for way too long. And part of the problem is that within the Latino community, we're so racist. Mm-hmm. You know, we raise our children thinking a white doll is prettier and better than a black doll, you know, and these are major problems that it's hard to criticize the white establishment if we're guilty of the same thing.
Boom.
So these are challenges that mothers and fathers today, we have to be consciously deprogramming racism from within our own communities, who throughout history, you know, see el indio como el malo, el indio como el que es menos. We can't have that anymore. We need to start. So the first thing we have to do is reaching out to our Afro and indigenous communities within the Latino community and holding hands and educating our lighter skin Latinos and our, you know, educating each other about how we all need to be one now. And we need to stop a lot of those racial stereotypes within our own cultures, in our communities. Right. Otherwise, we can't walk our talk and tell white people you shouldn't be racist.
Boom.
Absolutely. It's like I keep seeing these signs like Latinx for Black Lives, Latinos for Black Lives. I'm like, we can't erase our Black Latinos in our community, you know? So even small things like that. But definitely, we got to start within.
Or even our indigenous communities within our own countries that we're from. And they're so marginalized and they're still being colonized and erased. And that we have to stop that. We have to stop it now.
Maya, I know you do so much work within the radio community and bridging with other local radio stations to create dialogue and space. What do you have to say to maybe the young Afro-Latina in the Twin Cities who has a desire to hear her music or find a space of dialogue for her identity on your radio?
Well, I mean, the first thing you need to do is make some great music, and then the second thing you need to do is reach out, because the way that we're going to hear about you is if you come up and say, hey, I'm a local artist, I made this song, will you please play my music? And that's, you know, unless you have a major label producer, promoter, radio promoter doing the work for you, which most don't, then you need to come up and do that work and introduce yourself and introduce what you're producing.
Right on. And is there opportunity on La Raza FM to have a dialogue led by Afro-Latinas regarding the George Floyd movement? Is that something that we could maybe see in the near future? I know you guys have amazing amazing programming regarding immigration law and education. Is this something that we can utilize? Is La Raza a platform that we can utilize to have these discussions?
Absolutely. And, you know, we were trying to start a show much like that, not so much necessarily arts-oriented, but it was female-oriented and culturally oriented. And, you know, it's just hard. It's hard sometimes to get people to commit to doing those kind of shows, because then they have to take time out of their busy schedules. A lot of people are parents, or they have a full-time job, and they're full-time parent. They are full-time parents, or they're watching full-time their parents, because that's the other side of the coin, that we're watching our elders and we're having babies, right, and raising our children. So it's hard. It's the few attempts that we've tried to get that voice heard, it's been kind of short-lived. It hasn't been a continuous project. So really, we go back to, you know, really having dedication in the community to doing this. It takes a lot of effort to be consistent and to continue the struggle on an ongoing basis.
I know your studios, your offices, La Raza, was completely burned down. The entire Nuevo Rodeo, which was the club that you formerly owned, and I mean, that was your building for 20 years. I first want to say, wow, you know, I appreciate your words that I've heard in other interviews regarding, you know, buildings can be rebuilt. George's life can be, you know, he can't be alive physically anymore. And if it takes a building to be burnt to change, so be it. What are ways that people can help, though, rebuild La Raza and set up funding to platform these conversations amongst the Black and Brown community?
Well, for one, we have a GoFundMe started. It's called Rebuild La Raza Radio Station. And that's not the only GoFundMe we have. We also made one for the entire Lake Street Latino community that, you know, hopefully we're going to be dispersing any minute now, as soon as we can get the GoFundMe stuff, all the paperwork done. And that one's called Rebuild South Minneapolis. Of course, there are some others that have really received enormous amounts of funds. I think it's all good. Money is kind of, you know, always good, green energy. I'd like to say thanks to the Fondo Boricua for sending some good energy, green energy our way too. It takes a lot of money to pay studio engineers and to pay IT people and to buy equipment. And unfortunately, we weren't fully insured, and we didn't know that until this happened, like many businesses are finding out now. Mm. I mean, you know, we were paying $15,000 a year insurance. We thought we were covered. Guess what? Not fully, no.
Wow.
So, yeah. And so I guess one big lesson we learned from all of this experience is you really have to go through the fine print, and you need to submit your inventory list before you ever have a claim, not after.
Yeah.
So that you know what you really have. So yeah, that was a big lesson. Always took it for granted. Of course, nobody's ever going to think their whole building's going to burn down, but it happened. And if, you know, like you said, if that's what it took to make this all come to a head and make the country start disbanding some of its most racist institutions, then so be it. But it's going to take us a while to fully recover. Right now, thanks to KFAI Fresh Air Radio, we're on the air. They donated the spaces to us for immediate recovery. Awesome. But we still have the long-term recovery ahead, and it's going to be a doozy.
Well, you heard it. If you want to check out those links, we'll make them available here on Latina Theory Online. Maya, any final words that you want to let our not only our local community, but everyone listening nationally and internationally, give us some words of hope for our comunidad?
Well, it's just like us, man. No nos rajamos. No nos rajamos con la estación, the radio station. We don't give up. The community is just a larger example. We can't give up. We have to keep going. And when the struggle seems real and when the struggle seems hardest is when you have to push harder. You have to keep going. So right now, we have to really push for change because we have momentum. We cannot be like, okay, great, they're listening to us now. Let's fold our arms and go walk away and go on vacation. No, right now is when we have to push. We have to make sure that George didn't die in vain, and Philando didn't die in vain, and Jamar didn't die in vain, and Brianna didn't die in vain, okay? And Ahmad Amri didn't die in vain. We have to really work hard right now and make sure that whatever change comes of this is a true systemic institutional change. That's going to be the way we honor our fallen soldiers.
Thank you. You heard from Maya Santa Maria, owner of La Raza FM Radio here, the number one Latinx radio in the Twin Cities in the state of Minnesota. Thank you for being a Latina Theory, sis. We show you mad love, send you mad love, and aquí estamos en lucha.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you.
especial, porque se ensaña conmigo, porque descarga usted en mí su frustración y maldad. Si yo no he hecho nada, yo también tengo derechos, no soy ningún criminal, soy un hombre de trabajo y de familia, yo no soy un animal. Dios no se queda con nada de nadie y seguro ha de pasar que mañana un hijo suyo a un hermano otro se lo trate igual. ¿Cómo? Porque me pega oficial.
Y eso es verdad.
Porque se ensaña conmigo, porque descarga usted en mí su frustración y maldad. Si yo no he hecho nada. Sé que hay oficiales buenos y que son la mayoría, y que sin placa y pistola y de hombre a hombre otro gallo cantaría. No ensucie ya el uniforme pa' esconder su cobardía. La sangre de un inocente que hoy derrama es maldición pa' su cría. Porque me pega oficial, porque se ensaña conmigo, porque descarga usted en mí su frustración y maldad. Si yo no he hecho nada.
Respirar. Yo no quiero que se olvide.